Good afternoon. Welcome. This is the KPFK Local Finance Committee for January 12th, 2022. My name is Fred Lehrer. I'm last year's chair, and I will be taking roll call at this point in time. It is, just for the record, it's 4:06 p.m. on Wednesday. Okay.
Oh, no Nobel.
Okay. Whatever.
I have 4:05.
Well, my clock is set by network time.
Private
somebody please mute their microphone, cuz I'm getting severe feedback. Okay, Fred Blair is present. Alan, are you on the call? I'm not hearing Alan. Beth Van Gooten?
Present.
Thank you. Michael Novick?
Present.
Lawrence Reyes? Lawrence, are you present? Okay.
I think you missed Bella on the LSB.
Oh, well, I'm doing this in alphabetical order that I have my list here. Rocio Rivas, even though she's resigned, she's still, I guess she's no longer a member of the committee. I'll take her off the list. Janine Roan.
Present.
Bella DeSoto. Bella. Okay. Grace Aaron.
Hello.
Here.
Who was that? Is that, was that Grace?
Sue Cohen Johnson.
Sue, I didn't call your name. Wait for me to call your name, okay? Grace Aaron.
Sorry.
Here, this is Grace, I'm here.
Ken
Aaron. However, I just want to tell you, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, just let me tell you that I'm on participating in the John Verniel arbitration right now. I'll try to pay attention, but I'm not sure I can pay too much attention. That's all, but I'm here right now. I'm listening.
Okay. Ken Aaron? Ken? Okay. Sue Cohen Johnson?
Here.
Thank you, Sue. Raymond Goldstone?
Raymond Goldstone is present.
Thank you, Raymond. Michael Heiss.
This is Janine. Can I make a comment?
What's your comment?
Michael Heiss is calling in, as is Bella DeSoto. They were both on the Zoom call. So they know to mute, and now they're going to come into the Maestro call.
Okay. Michael Heiss.
He'll be in a minute, I guess.
Well, I'll come back. I will come back. Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson is here.
Okay. Steve Kaiser?
Here.
Thank you, Steve. Jonathan Markowitz? Jonathan? Okay, King Riley?
King Riley is here.
Thank you, King. Zuri Rideau?
I got an email from Siri asking for an excused absence because she's sick. She has an infection.
Is that Michael Novick that's making that announcement?
Yes.
Thank you, Michael. So she needs an excused absence. Is that it? Maria Skelton?
I've noted it.
Okay, Maria Skelton?
Here, thank you.
Thank you. Ruth Strauss?
Present.
Okay, John Wenger?
Present.
Bruce Greff, hold on, Bruce Greff? Are you present? Well, Mike Bresler. And I'm assuming Miguel, our dream, Miguel Quesada is not present. Miguel, are you out there? Okay. Well, I'm now gonna go back and, check for those people that didn't respond the first time. Let me just check the Maestro control panel. Okay.
Bella here.
Okay. Bella, I didn't call your name. I'm checking the control panel. Okay. Alan Beek.
I just got an email from him saying he's absent from the 4 o'clock meeting. The technical problem is CapNet does not work. I assume that's the internet. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Rocio Rivas. Okay. Bella, are you present?
Bella DeSoto, present.
Okay. How about Ken Aaron? Grace, is Ken going to be here today? Okay. Okay, Michael Heiss?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought this was a Zoom or Maestro. I didn't realize that you had to do Maestro, so I'm here.
Oh, thank you. Jonathan Markowitz? Zuri Rideau. Oh, Zuri Rideau said she's sick, right, Michael?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
Okay, for roll call, we have 16 present, quorum is 12. We have quorum. So we're in open session now. So,
Point of information.
What are your points of information?
This is Janine. I'm wondering if everyone on the roll call are voting members, meaning they've been here for three consecutive, if they're public.
No. Some of the people I called have expressed an interest in being on the committee, and that one is Bruce Greff and Mike Bresler.
Grief.
Well, okay, Grief. Bruce Grief. He's not a member, but this is his, Bruce is now, but if Bruce was here, this would be his third meeting. That's why I call them just for the record. Just about all the people I called I have as members on our official, membership list. Okay.
Bella,
what is your point of information?
Well, Janine, as a follow-up, can you tell us who is not a member out of everyone on the wrong call, on the roll call when you say pretty much?
I just told you, Bruce Grief is the only member, only person who's not currently a member. I'm just qualifying, recording him just to qualify him for membership.
Okay. I'm curious about Mike Bessler.
Well, Mike Bessler hasn't shown up for two meetings. So he expressed an interest about three meetings ago. So those are the only people that are not members, okay? Yeah, I've answered your point of information. Bella, what's your point
Thank
of
you.
Information?
Yes.
What's your point of information?
Yes, I want you for the stream to give us the list of the voting members on this current list. We are voting for a pro tem chair today. It is crucial that you do that right now. I appreciate that. And Mike Bressler has only attended one meeting in the past. Thank you.
I have listed the voting members on the minutes attended and the minutes as part of quorum. The minutes were sent out today. You should be able to get that list there.
That does not mean that those people here today.
So that is not my question. I'm sorry, Bella. That's the chair is ruling on that. I've already provided a list of voting members. The first item of agenda on the, Bella, do not interrupt.
It's Janine.
Yes.
I object the ruling of the chair. The names that are on the minutes from, the minutes do not seem to be correct.
I'm ruling you out. Janine, stop talking. I have not given you the floor. The first order of business as per the draft agenda is the election of chair pro tem. I'm now taking nominations
for
chair.
I'm objecting the ruling of the chair.
I'm ruling you out of order, Janine.
Stop. I challenge the ruling of the chair.
Fred, mute the people that are problems here.
I've already taken care of that. Okay, I'm now taking nominations for chair pro tem. I'm going to nominate the treasurer, the newly elected treasurer, Kim Kaufman. Are there any other nominations for chair pro tem?
Is there somebody who's muted who might nominate themselves or be nominated?
I have unmuted them.
Bella DeSoto here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. We're taking nominations for chair pro tem.
You had muted me earlier when I gave my name.
Are you nominating somebody, Bella? That's the only point. That's the
myself.
Only thing in order.
Stop!
Okay.
Stop! I nominated myself. Stop with your harassment.
Okay, is there any other nominations for chair pro tem?
Who do we have so far, Fred?
We have Kim Kaufman and Bella DeSoto.
This is Michael Novick. I would nominate Janine Roan.
Okay.
This is Ruth Strauss. I just have a quick point of information.
What's your point of information, Ruth?
I just didn't know whether Kim was present and whether she accepted. That's all.
Hold on. We're just at nominations at this point. We've had three nominations. We've had Kim Kaufman, Bill DeSoto, and Janine Roan. Are there any other nominations for chair pro tem? Hearing none. I'm going to ask Kim, are you accepting your nomination for chair pro tem?
I am. I am here, and I am. Thank you.
Okay. Janine, are you accepting nomination for chair pro tem?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Bella, are you accepting nomination for Chair Pro Tem?
I nominated myself.
Okay, but are you, okay, do you accept? Okay, I'm assuming so. So we, I think it's appropriate that we give a minute or two for each candidate to make a statement. Kim, you're first.
Hi, I'm Kim Kaufman. I'm the new treasurer, and I have been treasurer previously for a couple of years when I was on the LSB. I was chair of this committee for 8 months in 2020, and we ran very good orderly meetings, and I hope to do the same with this year's committee. So please vote for me. Thank you.
Okay, Bella, you have a few minutes to make a candidate statement for Chair Pro Tem.
Yes, I am very tired of the tyrannical protocol used at this committee. It is an unfair process by which there's a lot of noise.
Please, everybody, mute your microphone if you're not speaking. Bella, you can continue.
Thank you. And I would like for this committee to be more congenial and work in collaborative efforts and be more transparent, not just to these committee members, but to the public that has been demanding transparency and timely reporting. And that's what I have ran for at the LSB twice. And I hope that you trust and vote for Bella DeSoto. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. Janine, you can make your candidate statement.
Inaccurate, or did you actually talk about
that? Hi. I've been part of this committee for 2 years, and only recently, since Fred became chair, have I really become vocal and strong-willed. But I think that there's a reason behind that. And I am learning the duties of a chair. I chair the fundraising committee, and I often chair the task force for the election committee. I'm going to withdraw my name, but I will run again in March if this committee is not welcoming to its members. And I have had issues with Kim in the past to the point where I've texted her that I can't stay on the phone because it's so negative. That was with her as a chair. So I hate to bring these things up, but we need to change the climate in this committee. So I'm going to withdraw my name, but I am very interested in running again for the full chair once we see how the next 3 months go. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine.
This is a point of order.
Had this idea for Pacific Across America.
Chair?
Yes.
Can I be recognized?
Yes, you can, Kim.
Okay. I also hear somebody's listening to the TV or radio. Can okay, that's gone. Thank you.
I muted that.
I put on the agenda that this elected chair should be until the April meeting, and I want to explain that at the December LSB meeting, there were no sign-up sheets for new LSB members to sign up for the committees. So we have no new LSB members at this meeting, and I think it's, you know, kind of unfair for them to be excluded from their three-month membership because they were unaware of that whole process. So I'm just saying, I put on the agenda, but this is until April, and the new LSB members hopefully will be given the opportunity to sign up at next Wednesday's LSB member meeting for this and other committees. That's it. Thanks.
Janine, to the staff.
There is no stack. I'm just going to go right into the election at this point in time.
Point of information then?
What's your point of information, Janine?
Well, are we just voting on the pro tem chair, or are we also voting on that person being the chair through the April meeting? Because that's not how we did it last year.
We're voting for the person that's going to be the chair through the March meeting for 3 months. In March,
but that's not how we did.
Well,
can we have a vote on? Can I
move
for a vote on? Each?
No. You're out of order. We're electing as per the policy, but there is no policy because there are no LSB minutes at this point in time. The policy is for the first 3 months in March, which is the third month, you elect your permanent chair. But today you're just going to vote on one of the two people, either Kim or Bella. So I'm just going to take the votes right now.
I challenge the ruling of the chair.
No, you're out of order, Janine. Alan Beek, who do you vote for chair pro tem? Alan's not present, so Beth Van Gooten, who do you vote for chair pro tem?
I vote for Kim.
Thank you. Michael Novick?
Pass.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes is not present. Haven't heard. Okay. Rucio is not present. Janine? How do you vote, Janine?
Pass.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Bella, how do you vote?
Bella DeSoto.
Thank you.
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
What's your point of information?
I did not hear Janine's vote.
She passed. She voted to pass.
Oh.
She's going to be, I'm going to come back to her.
Thank you.
Grace Aaron, how do you vote for Chair Pro Tem?
Kim.
For Kim? There was noise
yes.
there. Thank you. Ken Aaron's not present. Sue Cohen-Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. Raymond Goldstone?
Kim.
Thank you. Michael Heiss.
Kim.
Ow!
Okay, Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson votes for Kim.
Thank you, Dave. Steve Kaiser.
Kim Kaufman.
Okay. Jonathan Markowitz is not present. So I'm passing on him. King Riley.
King Riley votes for Kim Kaufman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, point of information, Bella.
I'm right. We're in the middle of a vote. What's your point of information, Bella?
No, point of order. We're in the middle of a vote. Point of order.
King
we're in the middle
Riley
of a vote.
Is not a member of this committee. He missed many meetings.
You're out of order. Okay. Zuri Rideau. Oh, she's absent. Maria Skelton. Maria?
Yes. Kim, thank you.
Thank you. Ruth Strauss?
Yes. I'm just wondering, is it customary to do a voice vote as opposed to a non-voice vote?
For Chair Pro Tem, yes. For the regular chair, we'll have to do a instant runoff ranked choice.
Okay, I pass. Thank you.
Okay, you're passing. Okay, for John Wenger.
Kim Kaufman.
Okay, now I'm going back to the people that that passed. Michael Novick. Please mute your mic. Hello?
It's not me abstaining. It's not my mic, I don't know, but I'm abstaining.
Okay. Okay. Lawrence Reyes is not present, I'm assuming. Okay. Janine?
I abstain.
Okay.
Fred?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Who abstains?
Yes, there are two abstains. Hold on. Sue Cohen Johnson.
That was
Sue.
Yeah, that was Sue thing.
You're abstaining?
Yes.
Thank you. Jonathan Markowitz is not present. Zuri Rideau?
Not present, remember.
Yeah. Ruth Strauss?
Abstain.
Okay. So the results are, hold on. Six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Kim Kaufman has 10 votes. Bella DeSoto has 1 vote. And 1, 2, 3. And there are 4 abstentions. Kim Kaufman is elected. I'm going to pass. What's your point of information? That's Raymond Goldstone, right? What's your point of information, Raymond?
What is the term at this point of the pro tem chair?
January, February. Hold on. January, February, and March.
Thank you.
Somebody else tried to speak. Was that you, Janine?
No, it's Kim.
Okay.
So can I get the back gavel now, Fred?
I'm now transferring officially the chairmanship to Kim Kaufman. Your chair, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you. A peaceful transfer of power, unlike our national. Thank you, Fred, for all your service and for helping with this conference call. And thank you, everybody, for voting for me. And thanks to Bella for running. Now, I just want to clear up this issue about whether this should be March or April. Generally, it is March. It's 3 months. But as I said, new LSB members were not given the opportunity to sign up for this committee. So if we don't extend it to, I'll finish. I'll put you on the stack. Yeah. If we don't finish, I mean, if we don't, if we vote in March, they will be excluded. Was that Michael Novick?
Yeah. Yes, two things. We had a meeting prior to the first meeting at which people were seated, in which we
explained the powers and duties of the local station board that was open to all the incoming members, and we specifically talked about the various committees that do fulfill those, including the finance committee, and the entire industry was also notified about this meeting in advance of the meeting with the opportunity to participate in it. So the people who are not here were not excluded. They were informed about it, and I think we should stick with the standard 3 months. People can always join later.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Particularly, I just want to be fair to new people. And, you know, that pre-LSB meeting where members weren't seated, only about two or three new members showed up. So whatever, you know, this is just my opinion. I like to be inclusive, and, you know, we can deal with it in March or April if whatever. So next on the agenda is to approve the agenda. Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
So moved, Cal.
Any amendments? Any objections?
Bella objects.
Okay. Do you want to speak to it?
No.
Okie doke. Otherwise, the agenda is approved.
I had no time to read it.
Okay.
Everything was received too close to this meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
I can read it for the public.
Yes. Thank you.
Number one, roll call. Number two, elect chair. Number three, approve agenda. Number four, approve minutes. Number five, set meeting schedule for year or next meeting. Number six, budget discussion, at which time I will invite Julia Kennard on, our controller. Number seven, review November P&Ls. Number eight, review Allegiance Fund Drive data on Fund Drive. And number nine, new business, and we can discuss Maestro or June or Zoom. And adjourn. So I shall...
I remove my objection. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, number four, approved minutes. Fred sent them out.
I move to accept the minutes.
I object.
Bella, object.
Okay. You want to speak to her?
This is Beth to the staff.
Beth, go ahead.
Thank you. Are there any additions or corrections specifically?
Bella,
Additions or corrections, then I move we accept them as they are.
Bella to the stack.
A blanket objection doesn't go anywhere.
Go ahead, Bella.
Yes. So again, I have not been able to read the minutes. Several minutes were sent in before this meeting, and I have had no time to go over them. And I suspect that there's questionable language in it regarding a particular member of this committee.
I will state that, you know, minutes can always be changed later if you have a chance to read them. Some of these minutes were postponed from the previous meeting, so, you know, there's been a month to review those minutes. Anyways, I've heard a motion to accept them.
This is Janine. I can speak to it as well. I'd like to be on the stack.
Go ahead, Janine.
I'd like to strike. I actually am objecting to it because it has a note that Bella is muted because she will not take direction from chair. And there's also on the second page, it says GM just breaks in parentheses, jumps stack, and gives his GM report. And I think both of these are indications. Oops. That this isn't an impartial you know, doesn't convey the meeting in an impartial manner. I don't know. I would need to listen again to see why Bella was muted, but both she and I feel, have taken a lot of hits unnecessarily and unfairly in this committee of late. So I would like to delay approving these until we can actually review the circumstances that Bella was muted.
I would like to ask the group if they are will approve deleting those phrases from the minutes.
Madam Chair, this is Bella.
I just asked the group a question. I'll take a stack on that, but go ahead,
yes.
Bella.
Yes, it was already voted upon that. I recall in my notes that Michael Novick requested specifically those area be eliminated. The chair then, Fred Blair, agreed to remove them, but they have remained perpetual.
No, I didn't.
And have never been corrected.
Okay, that happened then. Now, Fred, will you remove those? And
no, I disagree. I was not instructed to remove those things. There was no vote taken. The fact that I stated that Mike Miguel just jumped in and started his report is neutral. It's not making a statement. It's about anybody except that the GM was irritated with this committee not allowing him to speak.
This is Beth Kustak.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, if there are objections and we're not able to satisfy them, then I move that we take a vote on whether to accept the minutes or not. And not delay any further. These minutes have been hung up by objections like this for meeting after meeting and after meeting. And I don't want this committee to end up like the LSB with a pile of unfinished minutes due to the negligence of the past secretary. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Janine to the stack.
This is the chair.
If I'm amending, wouldn't the amendment
Janine, you have not been recognized, but I will. This is the chair, and I would like to make an amendment that those phrases be deleted. I personally believe that minutes should just have motions and not and actions and not descriptions of other things. So I'm making an amendment that these minutes be approved as long as those phrases are taken out of there.
I second. I can make that motion if it gets seconded. Then
Mike Heiss, I'll second that. I think it's a very fair compromise.
Can we vote on approving the minutes contingent on those being deleted? Any objections to that? Okay, that's done. Thank you all.
The minutes are approved?
Yes, with deleting those phrases, Fred.
I will do so.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to set meeting schedule for the year or the next meeting. So,
I'm sorry. I have a point of inquiry.
Go ahead.
Previously, Grace Aaron was, functioning as kind of a pro tem secretary. I know it's been your past practice that you would be both the note taker and the chair. Kim, is that what you're planning to do?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
You know, produce minutes at every meeting, and they all got approved, and they're up on KPFTX. I'm, you know. I am texting Julia to get on the call because, you know, we need to set a meeting schedule or at least for the next meeting. So any comments or thoughts on this?
Yes, Michael, over to the stack.
Go ahead, Michael.
I would like us to check with Julia when she's on the call as to when we might be able to get financials on a regular basis and set our meeting so that we have time to consider the most current financials that META can send us prior to our meeting. So I think we should delay this till after she gets on the call.
Okay, I'll text her.
Yeah.
I just want to state my opinion is that they're doing the best they can. I'm not sure that they can give us a date, the kind of a date that we want, because, you know, we're dealing with 7 units, and that's the way it is, Michael, you know.
Yeah,
can't get blood from a stone right now.
It's not a criticism of them or telling them what the deadline should be. I'm just saying that if they can tell us when they think we could have them, and give ourselves enough time to actually review them with more than a day's notice before the meeting. That's what I'm asking for.
Okay.
Beth to the stack.
My
ahead,
to the stack.
Go ahead, Beth, and then Michael.
Thank you. Yes. I want to reiterate what Kim said, that NETA's turnaround time is spectacular. They, in general, they'll have things back out to us within about a day after they receive them. They're not the bottleneck. The bottleneck is whoever's the slowest unit that month. And there are patterns to that. That's not something that's within NETA's control. This is not new information. I've explained this month after month after month. All that being said, probably later in the month is more likely to have the information available than sooner in the month, but NETA is not in a position to guarantee it.
Bella to the stack.
Janine to the stack. Thank you.
Michael?
Thanks. I would like to also add, if you're reaching out to NETA to see what their ability to attend the next meeting would be, that you include Mikkel in that. I think it's shameful and embarrassing that the general manager does not attend a committee of this import. So I would like to make certain that he doesn't have the option to say, I wasn't asked when I could attend and wasn't notified. And I'd also like to offer my usual thing to be a timekeeper so that we could make a valiant effort to end the meeting on something close to a time certain.
This is Kim. You are I didn't put that down, but thank you, Michael. We're going to have a 2-minute limit. Is that what it is? And everyone gets a chance to speak before anyone gets to speak a second time. So thank you, Michael, for that. And Mikkel
My
was
pleasure.
Informed of this meeting. He told me he was not going to attend. So there we are. Janine was next. Now, I want to say that Julia is on the call. So I'll finish this stack, and then we can ask her and then postpone our decision until the end of the meeting. Is that okay with everyone? I'll take that as a yes. Janine, you're next.
No, I'll pass if we have Julia.
Bella?
Same here.
And Sue Cohen?
Kim, you would know. Would it be workable at all that if 5 units have turned in their statements that NETA would put out that information ahead of having all the units ready and report?
No, because it all feeds into one consolidated report. So all 7 units, you know, that's including PRA and the affiliates is now its separate unit, and the P&O is a separate unit. So there's a lot going on. It all has to be gathered to put into one giant consolidated before it can go out. So, you know, it's...
Partial information is not helpful at all.
Pardon me?
Partial information.
Right. Incomplete information is not useful. It's just confusing.
Point of information. Point of information.
Yes, Fred.
There are 8 units, not 7.
Okay. Bad arithmetic.
Right.
Go ahead, Bella.
Yeah, so I disagree fully with this analysis. And it is incumbent upon NETA to send to each unit its duly needed report timely, regardless of who is lagging and who isn't. That is not the contingency of the contract. The contract is that, yes, they have chosen to do a consolidated P&L, and that's great. That does not, should not be held, oh, the other stations, non-other station, should be held siege to that situation. So that's something that is being decided upon unilaterally. That is incomprehensible in the accounting world. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, it's always been done like this. Second of all, Julia is on the call, and we agreed to delay any decision of our next meeting until after we can, you know, Michael wants to ask her some questions, but we will delay this conversation until the end of the meeting. So, hello, Julia. Julia Kennard is our everything. And welcome. We're,
Hi.
We have some questions about our setting our next meeting, and the group wants to sort of coordinate it with when we can get the, you know, P&Ls from you guys. And we just had a little discussion, like, we're doing, you know, everybody's doing the best we can. It's, you know, 8 units, and we don't know. So, but I'll let Michael be more specific in his question. Michael Novick, he's also the chair of the LSB. So go ahead, Michael.
The stack.
Okay. Brandon, you're after Michael.
And Bella to the stack.
Well, we've had an ongoing issue on the committee about meeting on the third, Wednesday prior to the LSB meeting, because very often we don't have documents. So my suggestion was that we would check with you as to when you thought it was likely that we would get, you know, current financials, and schedule our meeting after that, so we had time to get them and consider them before the meeting rather than having a meeting and then everybody complaining that we don't have the documents. So my question is just when you thought, I know you were on one call where you said you thought the 15th of the month might work, but I know it's been a little problematic because there are other demands and because of what Kim said, that sometimes not all the units present data. So it's not a demand. It's just a question as to, you know, when we could likely have documents that we discuss. I was looking at the calendar, and to me it makes some sense if we met on the Friday of the month after the 15th. So generally speaking, that's the third Friday in the month. But, you know, I appreciate hearing from you.
Sure. I apologize. I'm going to close that door. My dog has a squeaky toy. Thank you for asking that question because it is critical. And I learned something new yesterday, which I kind of learn something new every day with this situation, with so many boards, et cetera, or committees. But I did not realize that the statements are not to go to the committees until they are approved by the National Finance Committee. So that's where, and now, I don't really know the full the standard schedule of the National Finance Committee. Because, for example, I think we're having 3 meetings this month, and that's not normal. So I don't know what their typical meetings are. But I would definitely say that presents the situation of we always need to make sure that we schedule it after that meeting. The problem, for example, with January was, and I'm just saying, had we had December ready or, you know, been in a position to present, we couldn't have been in a position to present December's by January 11th when their meeting was. And so I'm not sure how they schedule their meetings. But that is something we can take into consideration. And I know I'm sure you don't want to delay scheduling those, but it might be worth looking at the NFC schedule to see when their meetings are scheduled. I will be honest, I haven't gone past early February to add them to my old school girl that I am, paper calendar.
This is Beth. I have that information. The National Finance Committee meets routinely on the second and the fourth Tuesdays of every month. And then if there's extraordinary need, like at the end of the year, then we may schedule an extra meeting to make up for things that need to get done, and those are usually on one of the other Tuesdays.
Let
me just respond to that, and we have scheduled an extra meeting because we're trying to get through some budgets right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and also just a reminder, the audit is going on. There's a lot going on. Raymond, go ahead.
Where is it writ that the National Finance Committee has to receive the consolidated data before a particular unit can see the draft of that unit, not anyone else's?
I'm sorry, Tim. I don't know if you have the answer. Go ahead.
That was my understanding. I tell you, I take so many notes from all the phone calls that I'm on with Pacifica on a daily basis. I'd have to go back through my notes because I'm sure that I wrote that down somewhere. But it was a phone call that I had just within the past few days. If it was not on the last Finance Committee call, so it might have just been a one-on-one call that I had with James. But I will confirm that.
You know what, Beth?
And Michael?
Hold on. I can't really hear. Raymond, you were also on the stack. Was that your question, or did you still have something else you wanted to say?
Well, I've asked my question. I had intended to make it somewhat more rhetorical than I did. But that's my question.
Okay, I have Bella, then I heard some other people.
Beth?
Okay, please mute who's ever not, you know, totally talking. Okay, Bella's next.
Janine to the stack, too. Thank
you. Bella, you're next.
Okay, thanks. So, yes, at the most recent Finance Committee, this matter was dealt with in agnosium. I mean, it just went on and on and on. But no one has been able to provide a written proof or record of this so-called policy. But this has been a standard policy, and I believe it needs revision. And again, there's a great deal of resistance from across the network. So I insist as a member of this local committee that people understand that we need our monthly reports on a timely fashion, and this has got to stop, and that we start a new year on the right footing. Thank you.
Beth, you're next.
I'm a member of the public. May I say I applaud that
I was about to make that suggestion in public comments. It's no sense in having a finance committee if you don't know what the financial records are and what the information
is. Wait. You were not recognized. Who was this speaking?
This is Margot Iger, longtime listener sponsor, who will make a comment now that many people I know are saying, because we do not know where all the donate is, we don't want to do this. I would like to financially report all the time.
Margot, you are not recognized. We will have time for public comment later, but thank you. But please, you know, ask the chair to speak at least. And we're doing the best we can. Beth, you're next on the stack.
Thank you. Yes, to reiterate, I think for about the third time this meeting, the financials are prepared as a consolidated document so that it takes all of Pacifica data to prepare that accurately. And to expect NEDA to prepare not just that cumulative document, but then a separate one for each one of the separate units making a similar demand multiplies their work by more than we pay them for.
Raymond to the stack.
And I want to point out that the reason that the information isn't released until it's been reviewed is that it's preliminary data. And when we go over it at the National Finance Committee, there are almost always corrections and adjustments, and different people can shed different lights on different parts. That's why we meet as a national committee. It would be like us posting unapproved minutes and having those circulated and then complaints or quotations or whatever taken from that unapproved draft document. You know, it's a draft until it's been reviewed and approved at the national level. It's a draft and it's preliminary. As once the National Finance Committee has reviewed it and approved it, sometimes with corrections, sometimes it's sent back to NEDA for corrections, and they're always very prompt about getting that out. But until it's been reviewed and approved, it's only preliminary. And to send that out for people to argue over makes no sense. Thank you.
John Wenger into the queue, please.
Okay, Michael Novick next.
I don't want to beat a dead horse about this. We understand why it's a consolidated document. It's because NETA is acting as both the general accountants and business services for the whole foundation and also as business managers for several of the stations, and that the problems are often because some of the stations that they're not doing that for are late on getting the material in. So I thought we agreed to leave this question in general about when to meet until after the end of this call, so that we can get into the details of the budget figures that we do have for this month, which are from November. So I would ask that we just defer the rest of this discussion, please, and look at the actual figures that we have and the narrative that came from NETA.
Is that a motion, Michael, to call, you know,
I
what is
so,
it?
Yes. Postpone this till later in the agenda,
can we at least allow people to speak who have not yet spoken before we take motions that are going to make things much more complicated? Can we defer that motion just a little bit, Michael? That'd be helpful.
Does everybody agree to let? I mean,
I haven't spoken yet.
Okay, but I have Jameen and Raymond before you. Unless
okay.
You're willing to just postpone this until the end of the meeting.
Don't we have a policy that people who have not spoken have priority over those that have spoken multiple times?
Yes, we do.
And I'm such a person.
Go ahead, Wenger.
Yeah. So my suggestion is this, is that I was looking over the statement that Dave Johnson put out, the statement from the WBI LSV treasurer, R. Paul Martin. Now, I dealt with him in the past. He's really, really, really capable, and he has a lot of he's really smart, and he's got a good memory, and he will have the institutional knowledge, and he will instantly appreciate the problem that Julia is facing. And as well as be well connected with all the people on the NFC from the various stations. So he and others that have institutional knowledge would be useful if the NFC people with institutional knowledge, particularly R. Paul Martin, put their heads together and possibly in discussion with Julia, try to look for a solution that appears to them. Now, there may be something that's an easy, like the low-hanging fruit, or it may not be, but at least let's ask them to look through their institutional knowledge and look for that low-hanging fruit and see if they can just pick it up. And if they can, then we've got our solution. And then that's going to bear very strongly on Michael's motion and the scheduling of things going forward. And I'm now done.
Can we postpone this conversation until the end of the meeting, please? Any objections to that? Okay. I have budget discussion on here and then review November P&Ls. The budget discussion, obviously we don't have a budget. Can people please mute who are dragging something? I met with Mikel beginning of January when he got back from his vacation, and I asked him for the budget, and he's working on it, and it now needs to be put into the template form. So we didn't get it today. We'll get it next week. It is a presently, he told me, it had a very large deficit, and it was also included not paying central services. So I know Julia's been working with him, and I can let Julia speak, but I would like I'll let Julia speak on it, but I think we're going to need to encourage him that we need ideas for revenue raising, that I don't think that kind of a budget is going to go far. Anyways, Julia, anything else to add before I go on?
Sure. I just want to clarify, when you say that it doesn't include paying central services, you mean the past due central services?
No, I mean current central services. That's what he said to me.
Well, I mean, the central services is budgeted. It is in there. It's also part of the reason why it's an $800,000 deficit. So,
well,
technically, I guess you could say they're not going to get paid because it's an $800,000 deficit.
Right.
But it is a line item in the budget.
Okay.
I can't take that out.
Right.
So, and I do think that there, you and I have discussed this, I think there's a little bit of room to close that gap with maybe some adjustments to some of the revenue numbers that have been calculated so far. But again, it's not going to be $800,000 unless we have something major that's going to happen.
Okay.
And that's a significant gap to have to fill. So,
I have some more I want to say on this, but I would sort of like to get to the P&Ls while Julia is here, and then we can, you know, continue this, because there's really not much to say. Are we ready to go ahead, Bella?
Julia, thank you so much for being with us. And I'm hoping you're feeling better. I know I heard you at the PMB Finance Committee meeting, and you were not well. So I hope you're feeling better. You just mentioned something that I would like further exposure and detail, unless you, and I have questions for you, regarding the National Office accounts payable responsibilities, and how they should be documented, and what is the total on that to date by year, meaning in the last 3 years. I want to see the total per year. Okay, thanks.
Okay, Number one, thank you. I am feeling much better, so I appreciate that. And are you saying that as it relates to this conversation we're having about the budget, or is that a separate topic?
General, just like the last time you were with us, a general regarding the accounts, the full accounts payable picture. They should be done by year, included within the aging report by year. In other words, most of it would be over 190 days, correct? And then the rest would be, you know, for the current, it would be current, and then 100, and then 120 days, and so forth. But I want to see those numbers. We need to see those numbers both on the balance sheet and on the accounts payable aging report. Thank you. And I know you did your best last time to give us kind of a summary. I so appreciated all your notes regarding which areas we have been covered for, if it's medical or actual payroll. That was very appreciated. But the numbers need to be really brought in together so they make more sense.
Okay. Thank you.
Excuse me. I don't think Bella can ask you to go back 3 years to do stuff that you're not already doing. I think that's out of order.
I think what she means is, I'm assuming what you mean, Bella, is that you're talking about the old payables that are due that are related to central services, payrolls that maybe the station could not cover themselves that had to be covered by someone else.
Correct. Thank you.
That type of thing. Okay, and that is on a spreadsheet that I did, and I know if it did go out, it went out late. Tim, can you
speak to that? I sent that out, yes.
But there was a second one, though. Did you see the second one?
Yes, everybody got both what you sent. So Bella has that information.
I only have one. So if there was a second one, I have not seen it.
Okay.
It was later this afternoon, and I apologize for being late with that. I just...
Point of information, is there a title to this document?
Janine, you know, generally you need to get recognized. What is your question?
Is there a title to this document that you're talking about?
Let's see. Give me a minute.
I'm looking. I've got it right here because I've got my own little KPFK file. It is... It starts with 01-12-22, aged payables, and then there's an 01-12-22 fiscal year 19 through 22 Pacifica station payments.
Okay, so I did not get the second one.
Yeah, I sent it at 326 and 253.
Okay, let me go back there and see.
Point of information again.
Go ahead, Janine.
Hello, Lawrence.
When did you send the aging?
I just told you. I just gave you the times.
I have it. You should have it too, Janine. It's titled Pacifica Station Payments and Balances, LFC. At 3:26 p.m.
I only got one document on that email, and it's the...
There's a prior one. This is the age payable report for KPFK. That was at 247 or something like that. 252. There's one at 252 and one at 3.
Okay, thank you. I will try to make sure everybody has my correct KPFK email because it's hard for me when it goes into the wrong email. I found it. Thank you.
Okay. Was somebody else want to be on the stack here?
Michael Novick.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, my general financial question, I tried to ask last time, and I don't think it was understood, so I'll try it again. Looking at the fiscal year 21,
which is in the, we have the figures through November, so the first 2 months of this fiscal year, but the prior year is there.
Right.
And my question is this. Most of those central service payments were not made. Is that correct? In the previous year? I mean, that's what's reflected in the
right.
documents we're just talking about now. So my question
correct.
Is, where did that money go?
It went to pay the other bills. To see if you look, if there's a deficit,
yes,
the cash flow
the
has been negative.
Yes, but the deficit for the entire year, including those payments, is not very large.
Michael, you forgot about the PPP, one of which was received actually last year, like 350 or something of it came last year. So that puts our deficit in actual money at like $400,000. There was a $700,000 deficit from the previous year, and there's a boatload of payables that were just not paid. So,
right.
you know, what? So this is, you know, this is where our central services has gone. I mean,
but I
you know.
I'd like to make a comment, too.
Yes, I'm asking for is some way to see that, because
yeah.
you can't see it on the P&L.
Right.
So, I'm not an accountant, but if there were bills that were paid, that was aged payables last year that got paid with the money that came in from the PPP and so on, that was used for that purpose, where do we see that, and how can we understand it? Because the what's shown as the you know the deficit for the entire fiscal year of 2021 is not very large. Except that
it's actually larger than it is reflected, and
that's what I'm
tell you. Yeah, if you go up to line 16, and I don't blame anyone for being frustrated with this. You know, the PPP on that miscellaneous other income, the PPP was not $730,000. There was it was really closer to the $342,000 that was in August. The way it was recorded, please, you know, just remember that
yeah.
I'm passing along information. I'm
mm-hmm.
hoping that this can be corrected. The way that this was booked, when it had that January number had to be reversed and booked to the prior fiscal year of fiscal year 2020. When that was done in these records, it was done at the national level, and they didn't break it out into the stations. And so that makes everyone's fiscal year 21 statement be overstated with revenue. And so you really need to, at that, fiscal year to date 21, you need to subtract 390. I don't want to think right. I mean, there might be a little bit in there, but obviously not much. Essentially,
$393,000. The
thank you.
Okay, Janine's next, and then Lawrence.
Could you add Fred to the stack, too?
Okay. Go ahead, Janine.
Hi. Well, one thing I wanted to mention from our previous conversation is when you first joined us, Julia, I think it was October of last year, you had said that the financials could be ready within 2 weeks, even a week possibly. So that will come up later.
I've never said a week. I've never said within a week. I'm sorry. That's not possible. I said
okay. Well, I remember doing it in my head and thinking, oh, okay, so by the 15th shouldn't be a problem. But I also am wondering, I think, and this might solve the issue that Michael's talking about. If we were to have a trial balance and anything we owe, we treat as an entity, like a loan, in a trial balance, we would be able to see how much we owe various different entities, whether it's the
national.
Yeah. And the reason I bring that up is from what I've heard, there's been different times in the history of Pacifica where one entity has been, you know, underwater and various things are done to help them. And then another entity later, a year or two later, they have issues and various things happen. And I don't really know the history of KPFK, but, you know, in my mind, it seems like we're not tracking, you know, was KPFK ever part of helping another station, yet it never got tracked? And because of that, I really feel like we need to have a trial balance that shows when money's coming from one of the entities and going to the other entities. Does that make sense?
Yes. And so, are you ready for me to respond? Because it does make
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the whole situation of not having a balance sheet is a struggle for me as well. So I don't know how many of you people actually, you know, live in accounting land but that's not normal to not have a balance sheet. That is an issue though that has that pre-exists the relationship with NETA. And I have asked this multiple times of various people and have received the same response. So I do feel, and it just makes that part makes sense. Whether it is should be that way or not, it is what it is. Being behind in the audits, which we're on the cusp of being caught up with that because we're actually working on the audit we're supposed to be working on right now, which is to close out this just recent fiscal year. We cannot produce a balance. The way balance sheets work is you have to have beginning balances. And even if so that's where we are now, is we don't have the beginning balances for this fiscal year. Now, you can start with, tentative is not the word, preliminary. Preliminary balances, and that's the normal thing you would do. We're just not quite there yet. I'm very close. I hope within the next 2 weeks that I will have time to actually go back and focus more on the audit. Within those preliminary balances we have accounts that are called intercompany accounts, and they track. It's almost like an accounts payable line item. We have an accounts payable balance that you should be able to see on the balance sheet. And you can see it go up and down every month to say, oh, we recorded more expenses than we paid out versus last month, or we paid a lot versus we recognizing, you know, a lot of expenses versus last month. And so you'll be able to see it go up and down every month. And that'll solve a lot of the concerns that people have, because they'll be able to see that on the balance sheet. The intercompany, I'm in the middle of trying to finish reconciling that. A lot of what is made up of that intercompany is, an intercompany means KPFK has an intercompany account with everybody has one with the national office, because that's how, payroll and benefits and everything, the fact that the national office pays those flows through those accounts. And so that's how we know who owes money and who doesn't. So just because we might tell you, oh, you owe the national office for X amount of health benefits, doesn't necessarily mean that that hasn't been paid, because in the past, somebody has stepped up, typically the national office, maybe through a loan from another station, but through the national office, will go ahead and pay those premiums, because you can't let that, you know, default or whatever you want to call it. You can't let it, you're not going to let your health benefits be canceled. So when we get to that point, a traditional balance sheet is going to show, and I'm hoping that I will be able to actually tie out for the stations what makes up that intercompany balance. There are some, and I will be honest, I just can't remember off the top of my head. I haven't worked on it in a few weeks. I mainly focus on what is owed between the stations and the national office. There are accounts with some stations that are intercompany accounts that
I'm just making this up as an example, maybe KPFK loaned WBAI money, or WBAI at some point loaned KPFT money. And so that would be in that intercompany account. And they have their own line item, and it goes up and down based on the borrowing that's going on between the stations. Does that make sense? So it's there. We don't have to set anything up. We just need to be able to finish reconciling it for the prior fiscal year and get those balances in and cross our fingers that we can get the system to generate individual. I think I'm more confident that we can run individual balance sheets than I am. I'm more concerned about getting the consolidated balance sheet to work.
Bella, to the stack, please.
Did that
okay, and I would have just one follow-up after that.
Janine, was that you who had asked that question?
Yeah, it was. I would just be curious how far back it would go. Do you think it would go? Would it be 3 years or 5 years or 10 years or?
I'm sure that it's however long they've been using Great Plains. So I can't answer that question. I don't know how long they've been using Great Plains. And it also depends on have the units in the past been using it correctly? Because using intercompany accounts can be challenging. It's an adjustment for people who are not used to using that. But there is information there that we can work from.
Chair, do I have the floor? Lawrence? Chair?
Sorry, I'm on mute. Yes, Lawrence, thank you, Julia, for that detailed answer. And Lawrence, you're next.
Thank you, Chair. A couple of things. It has been begrudgingly and willingly the practice of stations to loan each other money, throughout the years that I've been around. That has been some practices. I say begrudgingly because at times they have been willingly able and willing to loan another station that is struggling. KPFK at one time was a very generous station, as was WBAI and other stations. But these are the two points I want to make. The first point I want to make is that I don't know if Julia added the $10,000 times two that was deposited before the entire PPP loan came through. And then number two is I'm not an accountant either, but I like it that I'm a practical and logical person. And there has been many members of this committee that have been asking for trial balances and all of that for years. So some of them live in accountant land and some of them don't. And then the other thing, Julia, is my question to you is, I'm a director for the Pacific, and I am respectfully putting you on notice that I intend to request a directing session in regards to the process, to the financial documentation, because that is something that this committee, I've done, I don't know how many inspections, can maybe two, but I think it's time for us to do another inspection, and I'm wondering if you could answer the question whether you'll be willing to cooperate with me or not. Thank you.
I apologize. You were breaking up a little bit. Could you please tell me your name again?
My name is Lawrence. Yes.
Lawrence. Okay. Sorry. I can't tell if it was my earbuds or just the call in general. First of all, I am probably the most accommodating, do it right kind of person that you will ever hope to meet. And as long as I am following the law and the bylaws, I can't speak to, I have heard that there have been inspections before. If that is something that I'm supposed to participate in, I am happy to do so. So I hope that answers your question with that. I would just hope that for the next couple of weeks, and I'm saying this because I don't know your bylaws enough to know that if calling for an inspection means that something has to be done in a certain amount of time. If that is the case, I would just ask that you please let me get through the audit. I've got to finish the fiscal year 21, Jordan, not just I. Multiple people working on that. We really need to get the fiscal year 21 budget done. Audit done. Because as long as that's still open, we're not going to get to where we need to be with being able to produce balance sheets. The faster I can get that done, the faster we can get to a point where we're at least able to be in the building process and making sure that we can generate those reports. Whereas right now, I can't generate the report. I know. But if we get into audit,
I join you in wanting to definitely get that audit and for you to continue to do your work. I would consult with the treasurer and the committee as to whether they put in the request or not. Thank you.
This is Kim. I just wanted to say, you were breaking up, Lawrence. I couldn't hear everything you said, but I do want to point out you can't do a director's inspection for documents that don't exist. You can't say, I want you to do this project, okay? You can only do an inspection of what already exists, okay? If they don't have balance sheets, you can't do a director's inspection and demand them to do one just because you want them. You know, they don't have them, you can't get them.
Of course. I completely get that, Kim. I hope you can hear me. I completely get that. I would not inspection for document that is not measured and available.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Julia.
Did I cut you off, Julia?
That's why. Yeah. No. I just wanted to give him one last little bit of hope, I guess, is that that's why I tried to send out the two spreadsheets today. We even have a timing issue with accounts payable. I could have sent the accounts payable summary that I had from last week, but I knew that people wanted it more up to date. So we cut checks for KPFK on Thursday every week if we can, if there's money to pay anything. And so by the time I get everything, you know, that stuff's always coming through. Like, I was pushing through stuff to the accountant to have her post those payables today. It was hot off the presses to include all of the invoices that we have in our possession as of today. And so, you know, trying to give you the most up-to-date information we could with the accounts payable. And that's also why I sent the other little spreadsheet, which I apologize, should have been in the same email with the aged payables. That was my fault. I sent it a few minutes later, and Kim had already sent out the other one. But that shows the past due amounts of whether it be health premiums or central services or payroll. Those are the items that are owed. 90% of that is owed to the national office, and the way I understand it, because the loans that we've had come through, for example, KPFA stepped up and has loaned KPFK funds a couple of times in the past few months. And, what we do is we really, our number one goal is to pay them back as quickly as possible, so that we know that they know they can count on us to do that, and that allows us to count on them to help us out when we get in that crunch again. So, but again, going back to, you know, sort of that, what are those outstanding payables and items that we still owe the national office? That's why I sent that second spreadsheet. So you've got your traditional invoices on one, and then you've got all that money that's been loaned by the national office on the other. Hope that helps.
Thank you. No, thank you, Julia. Bella. Who was that?
Bella.
I have Fred next.
Good.
Was there anybody else? Have I missed anyone who hasn't spoken yet?
Could I get back on the Michael?
Okay.
Again?
All right. Fred's next.
Okay.
Fred.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I actually have been looking at the accounts payable aging report that you sent out today, and I think I saw the one that you sent out for last month's finance committee meeting, and it's pretty comparable. I just wanted to read some of the numbers here. The totals that for KPFK for accounts payable is $139,269. And looking at some of the larger figures within that, I noticed that we owe 3 months electric utilities to Southern California Edison, which is the electric provider up on Mount Wilson for our transmitter. That's $26,708. And I also noticed we owe almost $10,000 to Los Angeles DWP, which provides the electricity to the station building on Lancashire. So Julia, my question here, Julia, is most of these accounts payable that haven't been paid are utilities. Or is this going to cause, and they're months behind, have we checked with the utilities that they're not going to cut us off, or is this normal that we can hold up payments for 3 months and not get into trouble with them?
Sure. So let me address all of that. One, and I did not think about this until I just looked at this. This, when you run an aged payables report, you have to run it with an aging date. And we typically run it out for 30 days. So this is run with an aging date of 2/6 or 2/12, I think. It might have been 2/6. I don't know, but whatever. It's the first week of February. Because we go out because we want to make sure that it picks up invoices that are due in the coming weeks so we can see what we have. That being said, that means that one of those invoices each for, what were we talking about, Southern California Edison, that $8,000 is current. So it's really kind of pushed some of those things out a month. It's still bad, but it's current. Does that make sense? Same thing with the water, the LA Department of Water, that $3,222 for the Department of Water that's over 30 days. Those two would be actually current. We just received those, so they're not past due yet. We just made a payment for both of those last week. So we still, of course, owe 3 months worth. But currently, utilities are not being disconnected in the state of California. And so normally, you are completely correct. Those are the first things you have to pay. But right now, and I'm assuming it's because of the pandemic, they are not cutting off utilities. This is something that is going to have to be addressed. I have no idea if any funds that might become available through the national office, but those are things that I would assume we would be recommending be paid first to take care of that.
That helps.
There are other ones like Spectrum and Waste Management. They will cut you off. We have to pay those because they will cut you off. That is why, you see on here that Pitney Bowes, we just received, if you look at about 3/4 of the way through, down under Pitney Bowes Global Finance, you'll see that we have an invoice that says over 30 days, and then we have one that's over 120 days. Well, really, that over 30 days is the one we just received. It's for the period covering January, February, and March. They're not gonna, that machine is giant. They're not going to come get it. But we need to be paying this over 120-day one, the 5,743 that's in the over 120 days. capital. I mean, those are just huge chunks that our main goal has been making sure that we set aside funds to be able to make payroll each time and pay health benefits, those premiums and payroll first. But yeah. You can see the legal fees are through the roof.
Yeah, it just concerns me that we have almost $50,000 in electric bills. The Department of Water and Power, that's not water that we owe. That's actually electricity, and that's
right, the water and power. Yeah. I just changed the name of the company.
Bella to the stack.
So
okay, are you done, Fred?
Yes, I'm finished.
Thank you, Bella. You're next.
I'm sorry. I asked the stacker before Bella did.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard Bella first. Bella,
let him go. Let him go.
Go ahead, Michael.
And Dave would like to get on, please.
Okay.
I'll wait if Dave hasn't spoken at all yet.
Go ahead, Dave.
So the financial situation is quite dire, where it's costing us a lot more money per month than the revenue we're bringing in. And it seems like in normal courses of business, you would either have to raise revenue or decrease expenses. So since we don't have the general manager here, I would just like to ask if the management plan can be explained. Do you know what management's plan is to curtail a complete bankruptcy at KPFK? Obviously, borrowing money from other units isn't something that can be done forever or future government loans. So my question would be to the GM and the other managers involved in the station is, what is the plan going forward?
I apologize. I'm just taking some notes. The only thing that I know of, there are two things that I know of for certain. One is that Mikhail and I have gone through practically line by line every transaction that has happened in the past year and tried to cut expenses where we could. A lot of those were just a lot of small little things where, you know, we were paying for a new service that we were able to delay for a year, or we could negotiate down on, say, a copier contract or maintenance contract for the copiers, that type of thing. The other thing is the telephone. That was probably one of the largest expenses that was really, eating into expenses each month. There's no one big thing that we can cut, but this was one that we felt like would be significant enough to at least help that needed to be cut. And we're more than halfway through. I'm hoping that we're more like three quarters through in getting that switch over with the telephones. Brian is there. I know he was there this weekend. They've run into an issue trying to make sure that everything's okay with the servers before they make the switch. But that should be several thousand dollars a month that will be cut because they're making that switch. There is not a whole lot more that we can do on the expense side. There are some things that we've discussed about, maybe we don't cover, and Kim or someone who has more experience with this might have to correct me on this. I believe that the station pays a significant portion of, pays more than just the individual's health insurance, that they might pay more than that. There are some options there, but I don't know that that's something that would ever get through the union. Again, I'm not up on how all that negotiation works and contracts and things like that, but it's going to take something significant. And it's going to have to be a combination. We have to generate more revenue. And so that is, you're correct. We have to have a plan. As I said, where I am now, I'm at $800,000 deficit. It's actually more than $800,000, but I do think that there can be some adjustments made to the average daily revenue that we've used as the calculation to come up with the fund drive revenue. Kim and I talked about this. I think that that could be increased. That is not going to be the silver bullet because, you know, of course we could increase it to $10,000 or $15,000 a day. But if you can't achieve that, then we're just putting out a budget that's not achievable. At the same time, I'd also feel like we can't put out a budget that's going to show that we're $800,000 deficit. So we've got to meet somewhere in the middle. I think that there is room to bump up what we're hoping to gain from the for the daily revenue generated from the fund drives. But there's got to be something more than that. There have been, one of the things that's actually been very successful, I don't know that it would be long-term successful, has been the CARS donations. I'm shocked every time we get a deposit from CARS. It is several thousand dollars. I think we had $140,000 in CARS donations last year, but you can't predict what that'll be. I don't think they promote that a lot. I know you don't want to promote a lot of things like that, but I mean, I think that there are, you know, there have to be some decisions made about, are we going to, you know, swallow the big pill and go ahead and say, yes, we want to do some legitimate underwriting, or again, promote the CARS pitches more, or, you know.
Oh,
I'm not a programmer,
sure.
So.
Go ahead.
Derek, can I ask?
Yeah.
Do you, looking at the financials, you know, it looks like we're $40,000-$60,000 per month operating in the red every month. What would be the horizon for any of these changes or promotions or things to assist the station operating in the black? What would be the time frame that you envision that this would be implemented? And are the things currently being considered by management going to be sufficient to get the station operating in the black? Thank you.
That is very hard for me to speak to. Kim, you want to help me out there?
We don't have the GM on the call. I understand that, but you're the only person representing. You're the only person on the call representing management in any way that might have had, was privy to these conversations. The rest of the committee are not, and so you've just painted a pretty dire picture, one that we're not unfamiliar with. And so my basic question, whether it's not necessarily going to be answered by you right now, but I mean, for the GM who doesn't bother to come to finance committee meetings, is what's the timeline for changes? How quickly is this being worked on? What's the immediacy of his efforts? And will it raise enough money? We've had other general managers in the past that have gone and cut salaries through reduced work hours. We've had other proposals of that nature. So my question was, are there any proposals on the table now that would be sufficient to get the station operating in the black, besides little nitpick things about, you know, telephone and this sort of thing? And what would be the horizon? What are the proposals for change to get us in the black, and what's the time frame horizon? And that's basically the question that I think everyone should be thinking about during this meeting today. And thank you very much for your work.
You know, that may not be a question that Julie can answer at this point. And I think it should be directed to the general manager. I mean, if we have a number of questions that we want to send to the GM to answer at the next LSB, you know, we can take notes and send those questions from this committee for him to respond to. That's a good one. But Julie can't answer that, and it's really the general manager who is going to tell us his direction and all that.
May I respond?
I don't mind addressing with him.
May I respond?
I'm sorry, Dave. I kind of ceded the point, but I was on the stack, and you've had like 3 bites now with the apple. So,
well, I'm sorry, Michael, but I mean, I didn't. I just wanted to apologize if it sounded I was coming too aggressively. with our colleague from NEDA, but I wanted to get that question on the record so that everyone could hear it, and hopefully other LSB members could bring that issue forward at the LSB meeting. Thank you.
Okay. So
may I
noted.
Say something to close that out?
Sure.
I did not take it personally. I think it's a very valid question.
Right.
And I think it's something that I need to be able to address with Mikkel myself. So I will do that.
Okay, but it's really his responsibility to report to us what his plan is. He makes the plan,
well,
you know.
If,
and
we,
that's
if
his
he
thing.
Ends up doing that through me, you know what? However,
okay.
We can get to the point where we can
right.
get a plan and get it implemented. I don't care if it has to come through me or not. I will be
okay.
the vessel if he is willing to let me be the vessel.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the right word, but you know what I mean.
Yes. So noted. Thank you. Michael Novick.
Yeah, so I had a question related to what you raised earlier, but I wanted to clarify something that you said about the consolidated report, because as I looked through it, I realized that basically what I think you did on an accounting basis is that all the money that was shown at the station on the station reports as additional income is subtracted on the P&O report. In other words, it's for January of last year, January of 2021, there's $1.25 million negative on the P&O income. And so basically that's the entire, those are the various, that's the PPP grant that was carried over from the previous year and is shown as income in each of the stations, but in the consolidated report, it doesn't show up because it was all subtracted from the P&O. So my question related to that is the same thing going to happen next year for the PPP money that was actually received and booked this year for the station? Is that going to be because fiscal year 20, and I have two more questions, so I'll try to make it fast. But in fiscal year 20, the miscellaneous income line for the P&O shows $1,744,000 with a monthly average of 146. But then in January, $1.25 million is subtracted. It's in parentheses. And so for the fiscal year 21, there's $1,136,000 negative on that line. And so basically that's the money that in each of the station reports showed up as income at the station, but it's not actually income for the whole foundation. And so I'm asking for the second grant that we did receive in this fiscal year and got booked, is that going to get subtracted next year? So that's one question. The other thing I did want to ask about...
Michael, excuse me, you're at the two-minute time.
Well, let me get my questions in quickly. Regarding the telephones, I'm wondering where we are in that process, because for the 2 months that are shown, KPFK had as much billing for telephone services as any of the other stations had for an entire year. So is there a prospect of that being reduced much further? And the third question is related to the narrative. The narrative basically shows that the only reduction in expenses in the entire foundation was basically here at KPFK. All the other stations and the P&O had increases in expenses. KPFK reduced its payroll and reduced its overall expenses by a substantial factor, and the only remaining reduction in expenses was because of that. And so related to that, on this one, it's a wash, however, because we reduced our expenses by about $191,000, and we reduced our income by $195,000. So I think that's related to Dave's question. If we're cutting our expenses but our income is dropping, we're not getting to where we need to be. Thank you.
Okay. Going back to the first question, I believe the answer is no, because the fiscal year, the entry for August is actually fiscal year 21 funds. I will let you know if I'm wrong about that. It depends on the timing, but I will let you know. I do not think, and there are ways to make it not hit the report this way.
That's what I'm saying. If we can do that differently, that was just not under my control to be able to do that this time. But I do not believe that you'll have it moved out to 22, but I will let you know if that's the case.
I just have one point to make. The issue was when those that money became a grant and it was forgiven, and it was
correct.
Not booked until it was forgiven.
Correct. And
right.
So it was booked when it was forgiven, but it needed to be still, they made us accrue it to the prior fiscal year 2020. And it's just how it was entered. That you're right. If you look at the consolidated, it nets out. But if you look at the individual units, each of the units has are in the black, has a positive number, but the national office has a negative. And that negative should have been spread out across all of the units, and it wasn't.
A point of information.
Go ahead, Michael.
I just want to interject that if you add up the time allocated on the agenda, it will be 90 minutes, and we are now at a two-hour mark. And I just point that out for everyone's information, and then put me on the stack for the rest.
Okay. Can we wrap this up, people, please?
Yep. I'll answer the next two questions.
Not you,
really
Julia.
Quickly.
Not you, but the rest of this, you know, we've got to wrap this up. So,
Bella, the staff.
Julia, were you finished or what?
No, he had two more questions I was going to give quick answers to. Telephone, remember I did not budget for the telephone change to actually be in effect until February. And Brian was at the office this past several days. They have the equipment there, the telephone, so they're dealing with that now. So we would hope to see by
too much noise.
We would hope to see by February, maybe not February, but at least by March, a drop in those expenses. So, and then the third one, I can't remember what it was. I'm sorry.
I was just pointing out that most of the only reduction in expenses for the whole foundation was basically this station, but it's been a wash because their income has also dropped.
Correct.
Okay, I'm going to call on Michael Heiss since he hasn't spoken. Go ahead, Michael.
Thanks very much, Kim. As always, there's productive discussion, and then we end up going around in circles, but what was identified in the last few comments is we can go over the figures, and that's our job. And we can ask Julia questions, and that's our job. But the answer to these questions lies with the general manager. Where is he? How do we sun him? I feel like I'm watching the news, and I want a congressional committee to issue him a bloody subpoena. How do we get him or whoever his boss is, and I think we know who that is, how do we get somebody from management to participate in this and tell us what the heck they're planning? Because they're the ones who have to do it, not us. We make suggestions. They do the deeds. What are they going to do, and when are they going to do it, and how are they going to get us out of this mess? That's
Steve
their
Stack.
Jobs.
Steve to the stack, please.
Okay, Michael Heiss, thank you. I'm going to let Steve Kaiser go because he hasn't spoken. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, we keep walking around the elephant in the room. Our customers are no longer buying our product, and nobody seems to want to stand up and really acknowledge that because the inertia is so severe throughout Pacifica. But we have to change our programming to be something that people want to hear again. And our market niche is based on being a source of information that people can't get elsewhere. And we've done a great job at this. And this is what brings in the revenue to Pacifica. So the real thing we have to address is programming. Now, I know that's the job of the fundraising committee or the programming committee. But as the finance committee, we don't have any finances to manage until we can get products out there that our customers are buying again. And beyond that, I think there's an opportunity to evolve Pacifica into a nationwide progressive station, while it is nationwide, but even more enhanced, and be the voice of ecology and evolution and environmental change through this country, telling people what they need to do and giving them the information they need to make the changes we need to survive on this planet. Now, and I've mentioned this before, we ride the crest of different sociological waves, you know, the beatniks and the hippies and the New Age, and it's been really great for Pacifica. And the next wave really forming up is ecology. And we need to expand that and come up with programming that our customers will turn the dial to again, so that we can get the flow of money coming back. We got to deal with programming. And programming is number one. It's the elephant in the room. Let's do something about it. Thank you.
Okay. I think we've kind of beaten this horse as far as it can go. You know, we've gotten a great report, and
I have been waiting patiently.
Yeah, you've also spoken multiple times.
Yes, but the questions and the answers that have been given have not been satisfactory to me as a bookkeeper, and I happen to be the only bookkeeper here in this group.
Okay, thank you.
And I need to have another round with Julia. I appreciate that so that we can all benefit.
I have a motion for the floor.
You haven't been recognized, Janine. First you ask if you can be recognized.
Can I be recognized?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion to have a special meeting at the convenience of the general manager, where we address just this question. What is his plan to turn around the station and bring it out of its negative trajectory?
I'm going to say that, you know, Julia does not need to be part of this. Thank you, Julia, for participating. We're going to wrap this up and, thank you very much. You can stick around, but,
I'd like for her to stick around. I need to ask her some questions.
I am saying that, we have asked her all the questions that we can ask, and we're going to, Bella, you don't have the floor. And
I have been waiting.
Bella, you don't have the floor. You do not have the floor. What does the group want to do? Do we want to move on and move the agenda, or continue to ask more questions of Julia? What does the group want to do?
Move the agenda.
Move the agenda. I think there's a motion on the floor.
I understand, but we have to decide if Julia can leave so she can get on with her evening.
Beth to the stack.
Go ahead, Beth.
Maybe I have a suggestion that can accommodate both this motion and one of the agenda items, which is to set the time to our next meeting or meetings through the rest of the year. I would like to propose that we meet on the fourth Wednesday of each month, and if
Beth,
we began this month, that would give us an extra meeting this month.
Beth, I've got to say that's sort of out of order between the motion that's on the floor and that we've, delayed this discussion to the end of the meeting. We want to address Janine's motion.
I brought it up now because it would address Janine's motion. And it would address the remaining item to set time for the next meeting or meetings through the rest of the year. But if you want
to
wait till later in the meeting,
that.
That's okay too.
Wait. Michael Novick, did you want to be recognized?
I'm just saying I've been sitting on a motion about that. I'd appreciate it if we'd just take it up when we said we were going to.
The meeting date.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay, I'm fine with that. I just want to, let Julia get back to her life. We have, she's been on for like almost 2 hours, and we, we're going to deliberate now about setting a meeting. So
I will respectfully leave this meeting, and I will be interacting with Julia. Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. Julia has told me that she does not want to individually act with this committee, and so she is too busy to deal with all the random emails coming from members of the LSB or this committee or any of the other committees around the network. So if there are issues, I'll be happy to, address, pass them on, but please let's have respect for people's time who are working to get our audits done and do all the other things you're demanding that they do. Okay.
Janine, can I be recognized?
1 second, Janine. I want to say whatever your motion is, please put it in writing.
No,
and send
it's in regards to Julia, what you were just saying.
Well, that's kind of my ruling. You can speak to it, but what do you want?
It's in regards to the first meeting that Julia had with us, and I asked her specifically if I could get the backup for certain items that I had questions about, and she said that I could email her about it. No, I haven't,
okay.
Because, right. So what I'm wondering now is what you're saying, and I realize that Julia's position is adjusting, but a lot of my questions would have been answered if we had a general ledger to go, to complement our P&L every month.
Okay.
Instead of me asking for that, instead of me asking her for specific backup, could we get a general ledger to go with this November P&L?
First of all, Janine, I will let Julia speak, but you have had, like 2 hours to ask any specific questions that you wanted to ask, and that didn't happen. Julia, do you want to speak to this?
But I thought I could email her, that's why.
Okay, well, you were misinformed, and are where we are now. That's what this committee is for, Janine.
Why are you talking to me this way?
Because you were interrupting me. This committee is to ask those questions. We are, Janine, please don't interrupt me. Please don't interrupt me. We spent, like an hour and a half talking.
Change
your tone. Janine, stop. We have spent an hour and a half with the line, discussing the P&Ls. You've had all this time to ask those questions about any specific items.
I did not.
Julia, do you
want to
speak, please?
Ask them.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I didn't want to take up time asking them here. I thought I could email her per the conversation from October, and I can get that conversation for you, but I don't think it should be necessary.
Okay. Julia, go ahead.
Okay. My comment is that when we started this conversation this evening, we started on one topic, and I was under the impression that we were going to get to a point where I would be able to actually present the financials. We never got to that point because people started asking questions immediately. And so, and I know past experience from the first couple of times that I've been with you that I have not probably shown or displayed to you that I would be going through the financials. But I actually had notes that I had planned on walking through the November financials and the year-to-date that would proactively probably answer some of your questions. But we never got there because I'm yet to be able to actually walk through the financial statements. And maybe part of that is my fault because I really want to answer everyone's questions. But I just suggest that next time when we say we're going to present the financials, that we actually present them and don't jump in automatically to the questions first. Hopefully that would help. As far as the emailing me directly, you are correct, Jane. I probably did say
all
that.
Right.
But I had no idea what I was walking into a few months ago.
You are off the screen, so you can...
Wait. Somebody's speaking. Somebody, please mute.
Thank you. All right. Please.
Julia, go ahead. Somebody is speaking?
A few months ago, I was very naive about thinking that I could be responsive to everyone, and it really is just not possible. As I had explained to Kim, this was just a preference. It works well with the national office because they have a group email, and so there is an email that it's all through the group chain. And it's not just individual emails flying all over the place. The volume of email is very challenging. And to be able to respond to one person when other people might have the same questions is something that I would like to avoid. And I think it's important, too, that, sometimes the same questions are asked repeatedly and we answer them and some of those facts are not going to change. And so, again, that was more, I just had gotten to the point where I really need a centralized form of communication. I want y'all to feel like you're getting the information you need. I was sending out the trial about the detailed general ledger. That's not normal. But somebody presenting and saying, okay, here's what's going on with your grant line item, and here's what's going on with why your your consultant fees, what makes that up, and here's what went on in general maintenance, because, gosh, that was high this time. We spent it on plumbing because people don't know what to do with their feminine products. That's information that I have that I can share, but I can't present it because there's so many questions.
Can I follow up about the J&L? Because that I don't think it's unusual. It's unusual.
Okay.
Janine,
you.
I'm sorry, was that five Janines, Kim?
Yes, I'm just trying to say you brought this up at multiple meetings. I think if you want to pursue this, talk to the LSB, or you brought this up at multiple meetings, and
this whole committee voted for it.
That's fine.
Kim.
And Janine.
And now you're turning it around and making it about me. Not only that, but in the October meeting, and I'll send you the transcription, Julia said that it wouldn't be an issue to send the GL. So
Janine.
I've been sitting back waiting.
Okay. Janine.
I'm pretty sure I didn't say that. I've never said that I would send the general ledger out to everyone.
You said that it shouldn't be a problem.
I believe I said it shouldn't be a problem for me to answer questions via email.
Okay, that's fine.
Sending the general ledger out.
We can drop it.
I remember that meeting. I mean, because I've listened to all the meetings last year, and I didn't hear that either, Janine. Nevertheless, you did pass something here, but you also passed something at the LSB. So it's basically beyond this committee. It's gone to the LSB. And that is the place at this point to take it further. So let's move on. We're going to deal with Janine's motion. Can you put it in writing and send it to me?
No.
Okay.
I can't. I'm not in a position to do it.
Okay. Well, that's a requirement for a motion.
I mean, Michael said he had a similar one. We can just go with his.
This is Beth. I've emailed you a motion.
Do you want to read it, Beth?
Sure. Give me a moment to flip back to that page. my motion, this is, again, I bring it up now b-
because if we began now, that it would address Janine's motion. But it also touches on the schedule for the rest of the year. So my motion is that the Finance Committee meet regularly on the fourth Wednesday of the month throughout 2020. If we began with that this month, that would mean we would actually schedule another meeting for this month. I'm reluctant to start at the beginning of the year scheduling extra meetings and special meetings and more meetings other than just the regular meetings. I think it's important to set a regular, reasonable schedule once a month and stick to that. If we did that and began with the schedule, then that would de facto give us a second meeting this month, at which I think it's appropriate that we make it clear to Mikkel that his presence is necessary and expected. Thank you.
Okay. I see Beth's motion, and Michael Novick sent me a motion for setting meetings. Meet on the Friday after the 15th of the month at 4 p.m., to wit, February 18th, March 18th, April 22nd. So we have these two sort of competing motions. I'm not even going to, one's a substitute. We have these two ideas out there. I'm neutral. I don't care. My only caveat is once we get the budget, I may feel inclined to ask you to schedule extra meetings if it's going to be a problem, because that needs to get done. But so Michael Novick wants Friday, the 15th of the month, after the 15th. So what is that, the second or third week, Michael? Anything after the 15th as opposed to the fourth Wednesday of the month? Michael wants it on Friday now, and Beth is still holding to Wednesdays. I'll take, pros and cons, whatever. Who wants to speak to this?
I'd like to make sure that Julia is thanked and permitted to leave the meeting.
I would, too.
Sure.
Unless there's objection, because she's given us way more than I think is reasonable.
I thank you, Raymond, for that, and I agree. I mean, is there any objection to Julia getting back to her life? But she's on the East Coast, and it's late. I'm going to take no objections. Thank you very much, Julia. I will be more efficient in letting you speak first and.
Thank you, Julia.
I'd just like to, thank you. You're very welcome. Thank you, Julia. I just want to make one suggestion before I hop off about the schedule. Fridays are challenging for me, unless they're going to be during the day. And then the other thing is that I really don't think that whoever suggested the last Wednesday or the fourth Wednesday of the month, I really don't think that's a bad idea. I know that it's a little late, but at least for now, it gives us a fighting chance to have good financials out in the early enough or to be able to get them before the day that they're due to you. The day of the meeting. So that's just my input. Y'all trying to schedule your meeting. So
thank you very, very much, Julia.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Michael, did I hear you say you want to nix your motion?
Yes, I said I'll withdraw my motion. I was proposing it, but I wanted to hear from her, and so she actually said what I wanted to hear, which is what she can work with, so I'll be happy with that.
And the question I have is, I was on mute. I wanted to make a request for information.
Joe Wenger, I just want to ask you, like everybody else, to ask for the floor.
May I have the floor, please?
Go ahead, Wenger.
the information that I was dying to ask, but I had my finger on the, I was muted, was she said that Fridays are challenging for her unless they're earlier in the day, and the question would be how much earlier in the day would make it feasible and desirable. And so maybe, Kim, you could send her an email or ask that, because she said she didn't rule it out. She simply said difficult unless it's earlier in the day. So the question is, what does that mean?
Well, she's on the East Coast, so we're not going to meet at 10 o'clock in the morning or 11. You know, we meet at 4, you know, at 7 o'clock on her time.
So suppose we met at 1 o'clock our time. That would be 1 and 3 would be 4 o'clock her time. My point is just ask her to find out what the possibilities are. That's all. And maybe something good will occur between the two of your conversation. That's all.
Well,
can Janine be recognized?
No. Okay. I mean, we have to decide how married we are to Fridays as opposed to moving it from Wednesdays. Go ahead, Janine.
My concern is if it is the third Wednesday, would we be getting the prior month
fourth.
Financials?
It's fourth Wednesday.
Or fourth Wednesday. So in January we'd be getting December financials.
Hopefully, Janine, that's our goal. And I'm not a mind reader, and Julia's not
oh
a mind
gosh.
Reader.
We're
doing the
question.
Best we can.
Thank you.
We are doing the best we can to get these. We just spent 2 hours trying to get, you know, hearing what the process is. You know, we're in the middle of the audit. Once the audit's done, it's going to get better, and it's already gotten better. We are where we are, you know. It's not a, you know, we've tried
okay,
to answer that
got
question.
It, Kim.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?
John Wenger to the queue, input queue. Just a couple of quick thoughts.
Also, did somebody else speak also?
Yes, that was me. I'd like to move that we adjourn if that's appropriate.
Well, you
not
know,
before we set a meeting date.
Michael, you know, I have to take that as a non-debatable motion. We're in the middle of setting the next meeting, so, you know, we can take a vote on it, and hopefully everybody...
I apologize. I withdraw the motion. I just, you know, let's stop already, please.
I feel your pain, Michael. We're trying to get there. But we do have to set this issue before we can adjourn.
That's the stack after everyone else has had a chance.
I have Wenger next, and I'll put you on.
Thanks.
Go ahead, Wenger.
Okay, a couple of quick thoughts. The looking at the whole process as a process of improvement, Julia has told us that she was prepared to give us a bunch of reports rather than just taking a bazooka of questions. And so if we next time, you know, prioritize her stuff and say, okay, Julie would like to give us a report. And so, let's give her what she's asking for. And that should improve our process further. The second thing is that we are in a learning situation here. We've got a new chair. And things have already, the flavor of this meeting has changed over the past meeting that Fred was done. It's different personnel and different expectations and that sort of thing. So things are evolving there. And the third thing is Mikkel, was I'm sure just, shell-shocked, something rather, unhappy with a lot of the contention that occurred in his first meeting with us. Julia will undoubtedly talk to Mikkel and may report that things are evolving, and Mikkel may want to revisit this after we, the committee, has settled down a bit. And so rather than regarding things as a point decision in time that we just must decide now and make a policy for the rest of the year, let's allow the process to evolve. And, Julia was asked that, I asked her the question about with R. Paul Martin, can she work with the business managers to try to find the opportunities for the process improvement. In general, all of my suggestions have to do with looking for opportunities for process improvement. But with that takes time and a bit of iteration. Okay, I think I made my point. I'm done now. Thanks for listening.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Beth is next.
Thank you. Yes, from the perspective of community organizing, trying to find a regular date when people can attend, or trying to set a date when people are most likely to be able to attend. Regularity is important. Time of day is important. People don't usually make themselves available during work hours. It's for volunteer efforts like this. So in late afternoon or evening, we started at 4 so that we could include staff during at least the last hour of their workday, so that makes sense. But for most people, Friday is the beginning of the weekend, and I'm concerned if we set it on a Friday that we would get irregular attendance, less consistent attendance. And if we set it on any day of the week after a certain date, that's going to mean that sometimes it would be the third Friday, and sometimes it would be the second Friday, and that starts bumping into other meetings or other schedules. And so I would just from the perspective of community organizing and trying to establish a consistent attendance and most accessible for the most number, that's why I would suggest the fourth Wednesday. And that late in the month, as Julia said, because we're more likely to have her numbers to work with the later we put it off. So that's the justification behind my suggestion. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Is there any objection to this? Can we try it at this month and the next month and see how it goes? I'll put you down, Janine. Let me just finish my sentence. And if we can try it for an extra meeting this month and what is essentially an extra meeting this month, and then for next month, and see how that works. I was going to ask for any objections to that, I'll take Janine first. Go ahead.
I prefer Michael's schedule. I think that this is a business manager for the station, and we shouldn't go a whole month, without them. They should be getting themselves in the habit of giving their monthly financials more quickly. And so I really think that we should try to schedule, we should try to move the national to approve it by a certain point for her to get the financials to national, or maybe we don't have national look at them. There's no reason why we can't get our own financials and not the consolidated for our meeting. If we're turning our stuff in on time. And I would think that the GM needs to see his monthly financials before the end of this next month. So this is just an effort to make it into a normal situation.
No, okay. Not. Yeah, I think we've kind of beat this to a dead, horse,
oh,
Janine.
Yeah. That's,
and
sure I
Michael has renewed. Something. Michael has withdrawn his motion, so it's not on the table anymore.
I really don't want to call the question. But I think we should vote on Beth's motion.
Any objection to voting?
Can you just please reread the motion?
that we meet on the fourth Wednesday of each month. Is that basically it?
Yeah.
Motion that the KPFK Finance Committee meet regularly on the fourth Wednesday of the month throughout 2022. We can amend that to say for the next 2 months and revisit it or just set it as what it is.
Would you please put place a time as 4 p.m.?
4 p.m.
Good idea. Good idea.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't
okay.
have this motion. Is it in writing?
She sent it to me. I will send it to everyone.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I called the question.
Yes. I'm taking a vote. I'm sending her motion to everybody at a request, amended to... amendment to 4 p.m. Okay.
Pacific?
Yes, Wanger. Okay. Grace Aaron, how do you vote? She's not here. Tim Aaron, not here. Alan Beek, not here. Mike Bessler, not here. Fred Blair, how do you vote?
To meet on the fourth Wednesday of the month, yes.
Okay. Bella DeSoto?
Bella's not present.
Okay. Raymond Goldstone?
Yes.
Michael Heiss?
Yes.
Dave Johnson?
Dave votes yes.
Steve Kaiser?
I don't know what the motion is, so I'll have to abstain.
So we meet on the fourth Monday, the fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m.
Wednesday.
Fourth Wednesday.
The clarification, but now I see I need to have an opinion on it.
Pardon me?
I don't have an opinion. I'll abstain again.
Okay. I vote yes. Michael Novick?
I vote yes.
King Riley?
I vote yes.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes? Okay. Janine?
Yes.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maria Skelton?
Yes, and thank you.
Thank you. And Ruth Strauss?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's you now.
Sue? Am I Sue on your list, right?
I'm sorry.
I know they're all out of order.
Yeah, page break on my part.
I abstain.
Okay. And Beth, how do you vote?
Yes, please. Thank you.
And John Wanger?
Yes.
All right. Well, we have
that's 12-0. That's 12-0.
What?
The vote is 12-0.
12-0. Okay. There we go. Well, two abstentions.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I will set another meeting for the fourth Wednesday, and by then we will have the budget. So
great.
Heads up.
Hopefully you'll have the budget.
Well, yeah.
And maybe even the general manager.
Exactly.
To adjourn.
Okay. Any objections? Thank you all very much for this meeting. You know, we did a good job, and see you soon.
And you did a good job, Kim. Thanks for your good work, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim, and everybody else.
And good night.
For your work.
Thank you.
Good night, y'all.